Hey guys, this is Patrick Carnes-Sedemoon. You might know me as the guy with the most IM medals in the world, or something like that. I'm also the CEO of Fnatic, and you're watching Duncan Foreign Shield's YouTube channel. Pleasure being here.
When you think of vitality, you think of energy, reaching your apex, solving the riddle of the Sphinx, working some magics, rushing around like Sonic the Hedgehog, making rings pop out for you and the homie. Well, you know what? Gamersops is my preferred energy source. How about try the Clyde's Black Cherry flavour? It's quite delicious, but understated, like all Gamersops. Sugar-free, of course. Lovely peak. Lasts a long time before it drops off. Let's hope Vitality can do the same. Use the code THORIN, THORIN, for 10% off your order at gamersops.gg. If you want to get some money back, you won't need a prenup. Right, Vitality has won the 19th CSGO Major, the last ever CSGO Major. Every person going, but it's not really the last CSGO. It is literally the last CSGO Major. And even if CS2 is quite like CSGO, when people make lists, greatest CSGO player of all time, greatest major winner in CSGO, they're not going to include CS2. So that is a brain-dead take that people use, because people who have no takes of their own have to come up with a brain-dead contrarian take to feel important. This is at me spitting them facts, innit? This is the truth that I bring to the table, baby. So the number two ranked team at the beginning of the major was Vitality by HLTV. And we did notice that by the time they won, they were number one ranked, because they do it sort of tennis style with the update midway through the tournament. And so, like, after Vitality 3-0 the Swiss, which Heroic also did, who were number one, they became number one, and then Heroic became number two, because presumably within that like week or whatever, the points at the very beginning for Heroic must have dropped off and Vitality must have gone up. Whatever. You know the way the HLTV system works. So essentially the number two ranked team before the tournament won the major. So not really super shocking, quite frankly, very legit. Also, let's be real, their run was epic, but it was also the easiest in history. It started in the legend stage, because due to the RMR, they skipped the challenger phase. The best of ones were actually the hardest on paper competition that Vitality faced. They beat G2, number three ranked team in the world, in a close nuke game. Both teams very good on nuke. Became a key home map of the Vitality guys the last few months. They beat Entz, number nine in the world, on Vertigo. That's also another map where Entz is very good. They beat Monty, who was one of the rising stars of the Tier 2 online scene, number 22 in the world. Entz was number nine in the world, by the way. 2-0 in a 2-0 game. Took care of them. Obviously, it's an easier opponent to get in a 2-0 game. You're not playing against, for example, Heroic, which potentially, I mean, you shouldn't really be facing them, but you get my point. Then they locked out by drawing the easiest side of the bracket. They didn't have FaZe, who looked epic coming through with all those close wins. They're number five ranked in the world before the tournament. They were on the other side. They didn't get Heroic, who actually was playing FaZe, number one ranked team in the world before the tournament. They were on the other side. They did have Team Liquid on their side, did Vitality, who were number seven ranked, but they got eliminated immediately by Apex. And so in the first series, Vitality got what on paper is the easiest opposition ever in history for a top team. Now, technically, Gamer Legion were lower ranked before the tournament, but they didn't play against the top team. They played against Monty. They got number 27 ranked into the breach with a bunch of UK players. Almost no one knows. I don't think any fan watching this could actually have named all five players before the RMR. They weren't even a team online that was doing special things like Monty, by the way. They weren't at all. They weren't even a team with veterans like Apex or up-and-coming players like Gamer Legion. Nobody knew or expected anything. And you know what? Yeah, it was a 2-0, but it was close. And it was closer than the score implied. In fact, there were times on both maps where Into the Breach was leading. And quite frankly, Cypher was outplaying Ziwu for a bunch of these maps, even though he's a hard entry T AK player and Ziwu's a primary AWPer. But admittedly, Ziwu also does entry a lot on T side. Then after getting past that series, I think quite frankly, Into the Breach just couldn't handle the pressure of the stage and the key closeout moments, and obviously they're way less experienced and have worse players. Then they got to play, because Team Liquid got eliminated by them, Apex, number 24 ranked team in the world before the tournament. They 2-0'd them again, but that actually does not explain how the game went. It was close again. Steeko was pulling out some crazy shit on Mirage. You had Nork actually outplaying Ziwu for a whole bunch of the Vertigo game. This is a close series again. This actually is one where Apex really could have won this one too. But again, they have worse players. They're less experienced. Never been in this scenario before, minus people like Jacob, so, and Steeko. Then They got to play Gamer Legion, number 31 ranked team before the tournament. Not even in the HLTV top 30, in the final of the major. Easily the lowest ranked team to ever be in the major final, I'm almost certain. And easily on paper the worst, even though, yes, they just beat Heroic, which does help a bit, makes the opponent a bit better. But you'd still rather have faced Heroic and beaten them, even if Heroic was be worse at this tournament. I would debate they weren't. It was a 2-0 again, but you know what? Even this one was way closer than it looks. The first map, there were a million times that they were in the clutch with the guys in Gamer Legion and they threw it away. Because again, they're inexperienced and not as good players and they haven't been in the situation before. And so, like that Apex 1v2 that he won near the connector on Overpass, he didn't even play that well. He gave him like 50 chances to win it. They just played it so appallingly that they just gave him the round. So that made that like a dominant first map win. And then on Nuke, mate, Gamer Legion had him. They had him against the wall. The Immer guy was having one of the craziest CT sides ever. By the way, his run in the tournament up to that point was unbelievable, especially for a hard entry T player. Unfortunately, he was then required to be a hard entry T player outside on Nuke by himself in the final of a major, and that's where he could not deliver. And that map, he really did let himself down. I think he would have stolen the major, by the way, if they'd just gotten them to a third map and had a big performance there. The MVP would have been his. I don't know, no, the MVP was what he would have stolen. He wouldn't have won the title, but he could have stolen the MVP from Zebu, actually, because Zebu was flagging that first half and was looking like he was having a hard time getting into the game. But that's the thing about Zebu. As each of these games went on, at the end, he would go off for a bunch of rounds, carry, get his stats right up, and then he'd be dominant. So the interesting thing to me is, again, failed clutches cost them. The Nuke one was really exciting, but there you go, they won the major. They didn't drop a map or a series. That is impressive. That was the weakest field ever for them, a run. But yeah, that's very impressive not to drop a map. Mate, most teams drop maps all the time, even the dominant Luminosity, NSK, Fnatic. Every team except Astralis drops maps, by the way, and Na'Vi. This ties Na'Vi's record of going undefeated at a major. If you expand beyond this, RMR and Rio, they're on a 13-series winning streak, which is a historic streak already. They're on a 14-map win streak going back. That's also very impressive from that Cloud9 series. Now, what it means for each of the players is the interesting part for me, because it has big historical context for some and not as much for others. For Zonic, it's pretty big, right? He's already considered the GOAT coach, but five majors, that is unbelievable. No one else is even close as a coach, by the way. He did one now with an international team without Device, the player that won all the MVPs for him, pretty much. He did still have Magus, who won one of the finals MVPs in one of those majors, but was at best like a second or third best player. Dupree was a second or third best player. And in this team, in general, it's more like Magus is the third best player, and then Dupree's the fourth, and then Apex just does the IGL in. I think, actually, even though you had Magus and Dupree, they're not the same players they were during the Astralis run. So that doesn't even really count as much, but obviously means they understand him. They have a working relationship with him. They understand his style of play. And Magus, by the way, was absolutely able to implement that style of play. And Dupree was able to play smart around certain situations. Now, the two other players were the ones fragging out, but they're not easy players to necessarily work with or slot into a system or find out how to use best and win a major with. Like, Zebu's been incredible ever since his rookie year in 2019. But I'll tell you what, he's been floundering whenever he gets to prestige, big events. Now, look, he played his worst opposition, but when he gets to a major playoffs, when he gets to a Cologne playoffs, a Katowice playoffs, he doesn't have the best series. His stats go down, his numbers go down, his impact goes down. It looks like he gets hit by the pressure. And admittedly, because of the online era, he hasn't even been blooded as much in those scenarios as he would be if we hadn't had that bullshit, what, year and a half online. So I think actually working out the sort of Zebu riddle was a big deal. Getting Sphinx to be as good or better than he was in Ents, and not even in totally the same role, that seems very, very impressive. Those are tricky players to work with. Credit to Zonic. Apex, remember, he's barely won anything. He's won two tournaments as an IGL. Oh, he's won more than that. He won like three or whatever, because he won one with Vitality the other year in the IM Winter. Like, he wasn't considered a great IGL. In fact, people now would say he might still not be considered a great IGL. But Zonic managed to work with him, not with Glaive or Carrigan, the people he had before, the GOATs, by the way. He managed to get Apex and go and win a major. That's very impressive. And here's a cool little tidbit if you're a Zonic fan but you don't know his history. Zonic, in 1.6, just like Astralis famously choked in CSGO, he had the team that was incredible, best of the world every day except a bunch of finals, who had one year they were very good but only won one major that year. They won the World Cyber Games in 2008. Then they had a bunch of years where they were second to or third to Fnatic, or they were second or third to Na'Vi, or the second or third to the Poles, and they always used to get their hearts broken. And famously, Na'Vi, when they came along, used to torch them and never lose a series to them. And so Zeus, at the end of 1.6, had four majors and Zonic had one. Zonic wasn't an IGL, he was like a second caller. Now, in CSGO, Zeus got one major as an IGL. Zonic has five as a coach. Right? That means if you add up just Majors 1, Zonic has 6 and Zeus has 5, and Zeus is considered one of the greatest winners in Counter-Strike history. That just shows you how persistence is the ultimate character trait. Just like my boy Carrigan, just like Simple, just like Device. It doesn't always come early. That's why I hope Nico goes hard as a motherfucker for CS2, because he can still do it. He can maybe even become the GOAT. I'm just saying that right now. He is a rifler, not an AWPer. For Dupree, look, this is most overblown on, I'm afraid. I like to see him win because he's someone I've always considered a great pro. I've always had a lot of respect for his game. He's quite professional, even though he can also be funny. Just seems like an awesome teammate to have around. One of those people, by the way, who also persistence. Like, if people don't know, he lost his father tragically before the IM Katowice 2019 major, then went on and dropped some of his best stats ever and won the major. And in doing so, by the way, that set up Astralis. They'd gone back to back, and then they would win a third one in a row. And that was his fourth when he won the Star Ladder Berlin one. Just understand this. Not only has he won the most majors in history, but he's also won 3 of them after that tragedy happened to him. What would give a lot of people an excuse, like a reason to never be as good again, or to give up, or to just feel sorry for yourself. This guy just came, and what a competitor. There's something special inside Dupree. He's just a special, special guy. Now, I think his legacy was already set. This doesn't change it. He's probably the greatest second star slash 1B slash sidekick ever in CSGO history for me. And I think that was already established before he won this major, because quite frankly, this doesn't add to or change that. Like, he didn't do it in that role anymore in Vitality. He did it in a different role and more like as a veteran filling out a team. Now, look, that adds to your greatness, but not in the conversation of like GOAT and top players of all time. It's a different sort of role. I think we should do role for role, by the way. Not like GOAT overall. It's just kind of silly otherwise. Now, I thought one thing that was quite cool about this major in the last like month or so, he's really stepped his game up, is the return of his Deagle. Suddenly it became really dangerous again. Remember in 2015, 2016, if he was on Overpass, you were scared as shit of that Deagle. That was one of the scariest ones in the world. It wasn't like the instant headshot, but the kills. You just get kill after kill after kill. He's just really consistent with it. Then you go to Magisk. I actually think the sleeper of this major. So well-rounded. I often think he is the sleeper OP player in Astralis in this team due to the role and the style he is and what he can do on T-side. This guy was an insane T-side player this tournament. He has an absurd Deagle, by the way, that can win you so many rounds. He is a spray god still. And if you put him in positions on CT or T where he can lurk in the middle of a round, his map awareness is too good. He is too smart. He is actually the main player I think of when I think of that Astralis style where they just find an opening, a timing in the mid game, and they just torture you and you can't get past a certain position on the map. You didn't even know he was going to be there. For Apex, he's won 2 majors now, but he won 1 as an entry in 2015 and he won 1 now as an in-game leader of an international team speaking a different language in 2023. That is the longest time between majors. 1 with the French, 1 with the international team. He figured out the Sphinx problem. Like, he's been thinking about that a lot, I can tell you, by the way. He's a friend of mine. I talked to him behind the scenes. That's one of those things. We go back and forth. I've even talked to Ents people. I've tried to give him my thoughts on it. I've tried to sort of play out, like, how I saw him in Ents. This guy has been really trying to crack this riddle for a long time. And it seems off these 2 tournaments like he's done it. Like, they're not losing matches or even maps at this point in time. He also helped to show Zonic's greatness, because Zonic before had Carrigan and Clive. Now he's done it with Apex, a guy people don't consider a great in-game leader. He was also ball of the way, just said, like, fuck everyone when he won the major. That's the way you shut critics up, not by just raging on Twitter at them. And his style and mentality, he stayed true to himself. It's funny, because when Cadian does this, yeah, we flame him, because Cadian is trying to be main character, but that's because he's the AWPer. Apex is always going to try and make pushes and plays. He is always going to try and be the hero. And look, there were times that was costing him in this tournament, but he had a good enough team, and at times, I tell you what, in the final, I thought it worked in their favour. He actually was able to torture Game of Legion a little bit by doing that. Sphinx, I notice I'm doing it in a certain order here, delivered fully on the promise he showed in Ents. This is one of the most special riflers you are going to see in CS. He is an amazing player, but in Ents he had a very set role and he had all the space, time, all the resources he could want, basically. You don't get that when you're in Vitality playing with Ziwu and playing with legends like Magisk. Nah, that's not the way they're going to play the game. So I thought it was a tricky transition he went through last year. There's a reason they only won 1 title, and it wasn't until recently when they got it figured out this year with his form that suddenly they're looking really dominant. They were just winning before and didn't have a map pull, didn't have a go-to map, etc. He is an insane rifler to complement Ziwu. He could just be the best player on this team and win a major, by the way, but you'd still need like a good AWPer. You put him with Ziwu, who's one of the best ever, and this is why they look unbeatable at times. He is a T-side monster, even though he's not like the biggest entry ever. He probably has the best AK in the world. It's between him, Axile, and Nico. Let's be real. I think Kisrattle's more of like a CT rifle player for me. we've got to put this guy in the contention. And in fact, after how this year's gone this last month, I think he himself can become not only one of the best players ever, but he's a contender for best player in the world right now as a rifler. Like, he's a really special player. It's just because he plays with Zero. He's a stats monster at AWPer. And one of the fucking chosen ones, the game, that he doesn't get that status. Now, for Zero, who I've left till the end, this is tricky. He's won his first major. That's big. I'm glad he won a major in CSGO. It's a shame Guardian and Nico never did. It's the first time he ever made it out of the first round of the playoffs. That's big too. I always used to be underwhelming. I used to watch this guy dominate and I'd wait for him to awesome in the quarters. Sometimes he'd have a good game. Usually the stats will go down at majors. I'd be like, nah, what a shame. I want to see this guy flourish like Simple, like Device, like all these great players in history. I'll tell you what, even at this tournament, he had some slip-ups and halves that were looking shaky. He was getting beaten by the other players. Sometimes not even the star player. But he's so good. A bit like Simple, where they have like an off game, but the stats like, what, the 1.25? How did he do that? His stats are so insane because he's just so high above most players in the game. He is probably the best player in the world. But you've got to frame him as a player because we're comparing him to Simple's peak, the greatest of all time. If you don't do that, by the way, we can just talk about how awesome he is and what a fucking sick player he is. But the difference is, someone else has a 1.2 rating, that's the best tournament of their life, everything looks flawless. Him, it'll be a slightly off game. Now, obviously, at the end, he starts went bonkers at the end of the tournament. He absolutely, though, did not have to do it on his own, which, fair enough, neither did Simple when he won his title. And by the way, neither did Olof and Cold Mizera. We just don't expect those players to. Sometimes we do expect Nico to do it on his own, but that's just the nature of the game, isn't it? Like, I think this guy was really, really good. Opposition is my problem, because when you look how he played, not only how they battled with him, but the fact that, like, this is the first time in a big prestige event he's done this, basically, except ESL Cologne 2019. He has to do this a lot more at other prestige events and majors, and especially in CS2. In this tournament, in each series, Cypher from Into the Breach, Nork from Apex, and Immer from Gamer Legion really tested this guy and were outperforming him for like first halves, sometimes two-thirds of the way into a map, and they have much worse teammates and a much worse team overall. That actually is a bit concerning for me, even though Zigwood came through and still got the bonker stats at the end. This is a fact right now. You can get mad at this following fact. It is a fact. He has never beaten a top 18 ranked team on HLTV in the playoffs of a major. That has never happened ever. Now, when I say names like Olof Meister, Coldzera, Kenny S, Guardian, Nico, Simple, Device, they, by the way, one, two of them, Guardian, Nico, don't even have majors, but they were all going against each other and other GOATs and other GOAT teams in all-time great lineups and major winners in playoff series, beating them, performing excellently against them. Zero hasn't done that yet. So even though he's won a major, he still has a lot to prove, actually. Now, he is an unbelievable player. Let's just run down it all. One of the best pistol players ever. Might be the best player in clutches out of the great players. I think it's actually between him and Device. I think Simple just wins by virtue of skill. I would probably say the best rifler among the AWPers. He's actually a better rifler than Simple, though Simple's very, very good, and Device is very good, but he was never like the god rifler anyway. He's just extremely good and well-rounded. He might have, let me see, does he have the best CT AWP? It's definitely up there. It's definitely very, very, very good. And he's more of a traditional AWPer than Simple style of AWPing, by the way. It's really fluid. It's really nice. He's got great movement. He's basically good with like every weapon, isn't he? His one problem is he hasn't yet done it on the biggest stage with the hardest teams and done to the absolute max level. But you know what? Only Simple has. Like, Coldzera sort of did, but Coldzera often, I think, had greater teams and also had better setup, etc. And also, I'll add in, I think Z was doing an amazing job now, both rifling and being a T-side entry or second entry sometimes. And let Debris go first, then he farms up the kills. I think that's actually very laudable too. That's something certain other players maybe don't want to do, or they play a bit more off the pack, as it were, and play a little bit more lurky. So he is one of the absolutely most phenomenal players to ever play Counter-Strike. Vitality as a team, by the way, their map pool, if you look what their map pool strengths are now, no wonder they won the major. I think this map pool is shit because of Anubis, Vertigo, and Ancient. They're good on all of them. They can win on all of them, especially Anubis and Vertigo. Is it a surprise they won the major? Their pistol rounds against real guns when they're on Deagles and USPs and Glock is phenomenal. It reminds me of the Na'Vi 2021 team. It's so terrifying. Their CT side fragging was untouchable at this tournament. And then they have people like Zero just dropping impossible numbers on the T side. Let's just look at some stats just to show you. So for the major, if you look, yeah, Zero's unreal, right? Especially the KD. But look at Sphinx. Those are like MVP numbers on their own. Magisk is really good and he's your third best player. Dupree even is having a great pop-off as a fourth player and getting plus 11 at 1.11. And even Apex ended up positive. Like, you couldn't ask for more. Zeebo did not do this on his own. Look on the T side. Magisk is the best rating. Really high kills. Probably didn't notice that, did you guys? Sphinx, massive numbers. Zeebo, not as big and much less KD. Only plus 13 T side. Apex, plus 1. Dupree, minus 13, but he's sort of the entry in this team. You see how well-rounded they were on T-side. Remember, this is a game where, in theory, T-rounds are supposed to be, like, a premium because it's like a CT economy when you build it up. But obviously, if you break the CTs, especially with pistols, you can get really busy. On CT-side, Zeebo's untouchable. By the way, 2.0 KD. That means he... Think about it, guys. He gets 2 kills for every death. That is impossible. 1.53 rating and over 10 maps. Now, look, Dupree's pretty fucking impressive. This is where he shined. Sphinx is still solid. Magus doesn't do as well on this one. Apex actually probably slightly more than you'd expect. If you look at the opening kills, Zeebo is the second most attempts and he is getting 64%. So he has Dupree run in or he has Sphinx go with him and then he just cleans everyone up. Remember, his rifle is unbelievable now. You just have to play back like an AWPer does sometimes. That's in a very, very, very big impact scenario. So this is just one of the best teams of all time. I actually think it sucks for Vitality that they didn't get to face Team Liquid and Heroic in the playoffs, or a FaZe, a Na'Vi, a G2, a Cloud9 if they'd made it there. Outsiders, the champions, versus Pro, the champions of the last major. It does suck for them. It sucks for their legacy. You can only beat who's in front of you. But when we judge it historically, it'll just be judged as one of the weakest, it is the weakest major ever, and the weakest major run. Even though it's an incredibly dominant run, and one of the most dominant runs of all time, outside of the context of who they faced. So, congrats to Vitality. Generally, I think it's great for all the players. Certain narratives are a little bit overblown. But yeah, they won the last ever CSGO major. Where I come from in England, people will often say, oh yeah, you and whose army? Well, I'll tell you what, I've got my own army backing me up. They're called the Skrilluminati. Thank you to Ahmed Hajou, Joseph Adcock, Matt Pugnaccio-Racula, Theogony, Animosity, BotPounder420, Jensen Gore, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, you know it, a special thanks goes out to my boy Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? You want teasers? Find out who's in the upcoming interviews. Do you want to ask me a question in my monthly AMA? Maybe you want to be part of those long discussions where we talk about anything and everything in esports. Well, if so, put your money where your mouth is and enlist today in the Skrilluminati via the Patreon link in the box below.